Mr. Willis, rail 14.
You told me too that time when you were ashore taking your children to the theatre, you put your hand in your pocket.
Yeah.
Tell me about that incident, which shows how policemen could be.
Well, at one time, this was in Plymouth Union Street. And across Union Street, there's a railway arch. There's the railway arch. Well, just this side was a big, very big sweet shop, first-class sweet shop, called Hill. Well, I was out with my two children. I only had the two then. That was Mabel and Reg. And we stopped outside. I said, "Want some sweets?" "Oh, yes, Dad, please." Right. They had a look around, and I said, "Joe, what you going to have?" "Yes, Dad." So, like, instinctively, as I was going into the shop, I put my hand in my pocket like that to get money out. The patrol was coming along. They used to have run patrols up and down each side of Union Street. You wondered it sometimes in those days. So one of these chaps come over to me and caught hold of my arm. He said, "You're not allowed to put your hand in your pocket, Chief." I said, "No?" He said, "No." "It's all right." I went over to the PO in charge. I said, "Any of your men has just come over and told me I'm not allowed to put my hand in my pocket. Now, my children have gone in there to buy sweets. They got no money." I said, "I have. I put my hand in my pocket to get that money out, which it wouldn't come out unless I did. Yet I'm told I'm not allowed to put my hand in my pocket." I said, "Ridiculous, and I should report it to the Master at Arms when he comes along." So the PO said, "Well, don't do that, Chief." He said, "It only causes a fuss." Well, I said, "Just tell him off. That he's got to mind out what he's talking about. Because the chap should never have come over to me and done that." But he felt a bit officious, I suppose. And that was that. That was finished. I didn't report it to anybody. The PO, in one sense, apologised. And that was that.
But as a PO yourself, you could do something about it.
I could have, yes. I could have reported it to the master at arms that was in charge of all the patrols was the chief of police. I could have reported it to him, and that chap that had done that would he'd go to the PO and he'd say, "Well, so and so and so and so and so, yes, master, right, commander's report."
But if you'd been an assistant cook ashore and you'd done that, you wouldn't have found it so easy to maybe.
Yes, I would. Because I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to put my hand in my pocket for money. But I'm not allowed to walk around the streets with my hands in my pockets, doing nothing. Well, I don't know. I don't know that I'd like to walk around with both hands in my pockets. No, you didn't have. You couldn't even have one. You had to be... Your cap now.
Your cap, you were saying.
You're not allowed to have your cap like a slight cock. It had to be straight. And level with your nose. The peak. Like that.
And as you said, though, after the war, the men's demeanour was the word you used. Began to change.
Yes, slightly. It came gradually. It didn't come all at once, but it took years and years for it to come. But you could, what shall I say, you could sense it. Is that right? Yes, you could sense it.
One of the things you also said before about this was that as the conditions got better, as the food got better and various things improved, so the men began to be a bit more cocky, a bit.
Yeah. Yes, they. The one big thing was, I've seen it. Oh, what's for breakfast, chef? Oh, I say bacon and eggs. Oh, they did that, ate bacon and egg. As far as we know, they might have thrown it away. They might have given it to one of their mates who would eat it. I don't know. But if that chap went ashore and he'd go into here to an eating house to have something to eat, that's what he'd order. And he had to pay for it. The other was given to him. That was the light of which they took it. Think else, isn't it? Something that's given to you, and that you don't care much about. If you're going to pay for it, well, mine. I've found that out.
Changing the subject a wee bit. When First World War was declared, you were in the Thunderer then, 1914. Mm. You were on a recruiting cruise.
Yeah.
Tell me what happened and how you reacted to this event.
Well, we'd been around to several places, such as Falmouth, Padstow, St Ives, and we got into Ilfracombe. And we were showing people around. The bakehouse was full up with the master bakers, and I was explaining to them about how these ovens and that worked and such like. Then we'd been there a couple of days. Then all of a sudden, orders came, everybody clear out of the ship as regards visitors. Well, everybody was cleared out of the ship, and that they went in the different boats we had, sailing pinnaces and that. And everybody that was ashore were ordered aboard by messengers going around, because we knew where to find them. And when everybody was aboard, we'd be up anchor and got round to Portland. Well, we wasn't there long before we were out again. And we knew not where we were going. Nobody. The skipper and that was going out under sealed orders. Then, when we got out so far, we turned, I think it was 16 points to port. That meant to say, we're going ahead and you turn to the left, like that. At an angle. That's 16 points. Or we deployed 16 points to port. We're on our way. Everything in the ship that we could practically got rid of, such as wood and stuff like that, was burnt. Everything was bare. You got to skip a flow. And on August the 4th, war was declared. We were already in skip a flow.
You said apart from this that the war happening meant nothing to you at all. It didn't register with you.
No. My philosophy was, if war comes, it's come. And you can't put your hand out and push it away. So what did you have to do? No good at kicking. You only turn your toes up. The point was, war is here and you had to accept it. I did. Well, I don't know that I'm different than anyone else, but I did. That's been my philosophy all life. Like in the barracks when because that doesn't come in with it, does it? Yes. Because at the time, as far as I know, nobody knew there was going to be a war. Because in 1913, at the review at Spithead, we had the German Emperor running up and down there. Then in 12 months, or a little less, damn it, we, yes, 12 months, we were at war with him. But, none of us expected it, at least, I don't think so. We may have, may not.
And as far as you were concerned, as a naval cook, life carried on much as it
just did. Just the same. Go on, get up in the morning, go and do your work. Clean yourself up, have your meals, go back into your mess. Then when the time came, get into your hammock and go to sleep. If a torpedo hits you, well, it hits you.
And as far as food was concerned, that got no scarcer or no different? You still had the same supplies?
Yeah. We never went short of food. The people in that looked out for that. We used to get tons of grub. First, food parcels and that sort of thing and that. Oh, our food. Fags, oh, fags. You had, I could have opened the shop with fags that I had alone if I had saved them.
And as far as you were concerned, as a ship's cook, naval cook, there was no shortages or no supplies that you couldn't get any longer, anything like that, that you noticed because of the war?
Not that I know of. You could get things, but it was a bit difficult because it took time and you didn't know when you could go ashore and get it or anything like that. Because at that time, all that 19 months, the only people that were allowed ashore, as far as I know, was the postman. And there was other things going on. Of course, as I said, we had that concert party and that kept us going.
During the 19 months, this was?
Yeah. Damn good show it was, too.
Tell me about the routine here and how the concert party helped to break up the monotony of this.
Oh, they had their own place where they used to go and rehearse their things and that. Well, they were never interfered with. And anything. These things just come on, and when they were ready, there's an old ship called the Gorko, and she was rigged up as a theatre. And this turned out used to go on aboard the Gorko. That was when we were not out at sea, and then when things began to ease down, and that. This said party would go to Edinburgh for a fortnight and perform, and the money was given to charity. Oh, all the fleet used to come there and take their turn and come aboard there and see the show. There was no other ship up there that used to do it. Yet, we used to get on with our daily work just the same. Nothing was said. Miss, nothing was slacked or anything at all. The work was done, and that was that. It had to be.
What was your biggest problem in those 19 months or so? What was the biggest difficulty or thing you had to get used to?
Well, find something to do, as I'll be. You get a chance, perhaps now and again. I used to do a lot of silk work and net making. Like this. And I, as a chief PO, didn't have the flannels that the sailors have with the blue band around the top. I could make my own if I wanted to, which I did do. And I used to make, instead of the thick woolen ones they used to supply, I used to make my own short pants. Oh, you, especially in the ship, you're a man for yourself.